Thank you for joining us for this episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. I'm so glad that you could join us today. Let's open our hearts and prepare as the Word of God goes forth. God bless you as you listen. Thank God for all of you that are joining us on This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this time to gather together, to go over the scriptures together, Lord, to share, to impart to our brothers and sisters. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Give us open hearts to receive the incorruptible seed of your word. We thank you for every opportunity we have to share the word of the living God. Your word is the comprehensive equipment that you use to fit every person for kingdom service. Thank you, precious Lord, for helping us. Give us an utterance that only you can give and an unction from the Holy One. Thank you, Father, for hearing us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the opportunity to share again on This Present Truth. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4. We started sharing with you about spiritual formation, the importance of spiritual formation. We'd like to share just a couple more principles with you out of this Galatians chapter 4 passage, and then we'll look at a verse in Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version, and it says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you." Now, we took this passage as a pivot to begin looking at what Christ does once he enters the life and the heart of a person. This transformation into new life in Christ or Christ-likeness actually begins once the person has received Christ as their personal Savior and has dedicated their lives to living only for him. It's important to know, brothers and sisters, that we live in a day where people confess with their mouth but don't believe in their heart, where people confess with their mouth and the life is different. So the importance of spiritual formation is to be able to recognize what Christ has done and is doing in the life of this person that's a new convert. Paul said, "My little children for whom I labor in birth." The King James Version says, "I travail in birth." It's speaking to natural labor pains that a woman who is pregnant, that is about to give birth, begins to experience. Paul said that this is true in a spiritual context. "My little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." It's important to note that the Apostle Paul says, "I'm laboring in birth again," as though this is a regular posture of the heart for the Apostle Paul as it relates to praying for those that he has led to the Lord, churches that God has used him to establish, and the like. He says, "I labor in birth." I think it's important to recognize that this formation that we're discussing, this being formed spiritually, what it takes is a labor in the place of prayer. We can't overlook that. For those of us who are leading people to the Lord or winning people to Christ, bringing them into an understanding of the new creation, spiritual formation, in order for it to take place, requires that those that are involved and engaging in this labor travail. It's a labor in prayer. And I must say, it's very laborious, because the issues that people face, how the enemy attacks those who have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and are now have come into the kingdom of light, the enemy will not release them willingly. As a matter of fact, we see how God dealt with Pharaoh when he was telling Moses what needed to be done. Pharaoh, I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to let the people of God go unless a mighty hand. God mentions that in Exodus, the 4th chapter, I believe. And he said, then he will let you go. This is the case as it relates to those that are in the process of being formed and coming into Christ's likeness through spiritual formation. It's important to see that this labor in prayer is to protect the one who has just come out of darkness. Paul says, my little children, he's addressing new converts and those who have just come into an understanding of Christ. My little children, of whom I travail, I labor in birth. Again, Paul, how long will you labor for these to be conformed to his image and likeness until Christ is formed in them? That this is not an option, it's a necessity. Christ must take shape within the child of God. Now, this is important, brothers and sisters. Not many people are aware of the dynamics that take place when a person receives Christ. It's important to know that this person has come out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the gospel that they have heard probably for the first time. The gospel that is the response of the person's heart to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is at that point, when that decision is made, that the Holy Spirit, a rich deposit of God's Spirit, is active within the life and the heart of that person. But Christ has not fully taken shape yet. He's there as an infant, in an infant stage of development. He's resident. He's there. But Paul's prayer is pointing to what we have to understand as it relates to spiritual formation. That travail and prayer over this life is essential until Christ is formed within that person. Notice, he says, I'm travailing until something happens. And what is that, Paul? Christ be formed and shaped within you. Now, we looked at some definitions the last time we were together. We'll just run over these again, just to highlight a couple of things as it relates to spiritual formation. We said it's the act of making a natural man to become a new creation in Christ, spiritually minded and able to walk in the Spirit with God. Spiritual formation is the act of creating to exist or come into being in his heart a clear experience of Christ's life. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the religious life. We're not talking about church life. We're talking about Christ's life. that turns the individual into a spiritual person. Now, only God can do that by grace. And Thayer's Greek lexicon defines grace as the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Grace does something to the heart, leaves an indelible mark to where that person can't recover into that natural life that they were living. They're being brought out into something spiritual in nature. Their nature is undergoing a transformational change. Their spirit man was dead and now it's been made alive in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That word quickened means to be made alive, which means only when a person receives Christ is their dead spirit made alive, and it's made alive in Christ Jesus, where spiritual formation begins to take place. It can only take place in Christ, this person having encountered the Lord. It's important to note, brothers and sisters, that in order to create formation on a spiritual level, it's only possible in an individual by the working of the Holy Spirit in that person. Without the Holy Spirit, spiritual formation is not possible. It can't happen. Again, spiritual formation is creating, carving for permanence, Christ-likeness, and Christ-mindedness in his heart, whereby his outlook on life is completely congruent with the Word of God. This is a person who begins living by the Word of God, what the Word of God says and states. So again, brothers and sisters, it's important to understand what it is before it can actually begin to take place within the life of a person. I want to look at this other passage in Ephesians chapter 2. We just quoted verse 1, but we want to look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Now, spiritual formation has practical steps, and we want to begin to highlight some of these things that happens in the heart. Some of the practical things that happen to the person are things that happen on the inside of the person because of the nature of the encounter that the person has had with the Lord. Spiritual formation can't really begin until a genuine encounter with God has taken place. And it's unfortunate that that hasn't happened in the lives of so many people who say they're Christian. So the concept of being spiritually shaped and coming into spiritual formation is not even on the gauge of many that are living for the Lord. Unfortunately, they've been misinformed. The heart in its search for God, whenever it encounters God in a real and a personal sense, the Holy Spirit gets involved in the heart of that person. Spiritual formation begins to take place as the heart searches for God, locates God, and out of that encounter, this process of formation begins to take place. Just like when the seed of the man finds the egg of the woman and penetrates the egg, pregnancy has begun. The same is true with the Word of God that begins to affect the heart of the person. As a matter of fact, God's seed is his Word, the Word of God. It's the seed, it's an incorruptible seed, the Bible says. When that lands in a heart that's been evacuated of the natural life, spiritual formation can begin to take shape within that person. Now, how do we create this formation in the invisible area, in the unseen areas of our life? Paul gave us that as it related to, I'm travailing in birth. We create this in a real sense when we intercede for those that have just accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Concerted prayer and intercession is what we find that God uses to bring forth this formation of this life operating now within a person who knows nothing of this life. This life is new. This life has never been experienced before. And so this practical act of praying, either our own, for our own personal lives, or we're engaging someone else in the place of prayer, what's important to know is that that labor in the secret place aids and assists in this person becoming spiritual in the hand of God. Now, in a practical sense, spiritual formation is basically a remolding. It's a remolding. You can look up the word, it's the word morpho, where we get our word morphe, or metamorphosis. We know that that is the process from the caterpillar to the butterfly. This word is also used and has similar meaning in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So again, spiritual formation is critical to this person actually developing the spiritual life that Christ died to give them. It's paying close attention to what's being formed within the person, what is taking shape within the person, the attitude, and what's coming out of the life of the person. Spiritual formation begins in the heart of the individual. And it is releasing out of that heart the very life of Christ that has begun to dwell within the life of the person. We see Jesus mentioning this in, I want to just look at, before we look at the verse in Acts chapter, in Ephesians chapter 2, I want us to look at what Jesus said to the disciples in John's Gospel. Let's see here. Molding and reshaping. Spiritual formation is also defined. We gave you some definitions, but it's basically something that is formed. This word formed in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, it basically means to mold, to fashion, or to give shape. This is what's needed in our experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people just settle for a church membership without God's life ever taking shape within them. This is why so many are vague in their experience in Christ. We can't accurately convey it to others. Not that we can explain it, But what we should know is that something happened to our hearts that we can't recover. And now we're being remolded into another image, the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we saw in Genesis chapter 5 where Adam, after the fall, he started having children after his own likeness in his own image. And that's the image and likeness of Adam, the similitude of Adam. That's mentioned in Romans, the 5th chapter. So there's a pattern of life that was created in Adam for all of us, because we were all in the loins of Adam, and we all were born with the Adamic nature, the nature like Adam. That nature hides from God. That nature is the natural life that everyone has access to, but it's not directed towards God. It's directed towards the natural or the sense realm. Well, what I can see, what I can taste, what I can feel, what I can touch, what I can smell. The natural realm directs and conforms the natural man. This is why in Christ, something spiritual has begun within the person. And once that natural life is evacuated, spiritual formation can take place. Now, brothers and sisters, if the old nature, the Adamic nature, Mr. Flesh, has not been completely evacuated, he will oppose all of what the Holy Spirit is doing in spiritual formation. We recommend that the old life and that old nature be renounced, that we turn our back to the life that we used to live. And now we need to understand, according to Colossians chapter 3, we died. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, spiritual formation can take place appropriately, accurately, and sincerely in that person's heart, unobstructed by anything that the old Adamic nature used to do. It's a fresh outlook on life, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a fresh input of God's word, shaping the nature and Christ taking form and shape within that person. This, brothers and sisters, often seldom takes place in the life of God's children. That's why we have people that'll say they're Christian, but, you know, they fuss and cuss. They'll say I just heard a brother say something about that the Bible is a political book and all of that. It's not. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. We've turned God into an entrepreneur, and God is this, God is that, and now his word is a political book. It's not, brothers and sisters. It's not a political book. The word of God is the word of God. It's the written revelation of God. It's not in any way political, even though it deals with things that can handle political situations. But the Bible in and of itself is not a political book. So it's important to understand, brothers and sisters, that if you're not taking shape in Christ and being conformed to that image and likeness, you could still easily be deceived by the enemy. The enemy has access to any life that still bears darkness in it, because he can dwell wherever there's darkness. So spiritual formation is critical so that all of what the old natural life produced can be evacuated, and this person that's been born from above, born again by the Spirit of God, can now begin to take shape within the heart of the person, unobstructed by anything that the natural life does or produces. This is how spiritual formation takes place within the life of the person. Let's go back to this verse here in Ephesians chapter 2, I just wanted to look at something that was mentioned here in verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, I want to read this in the Amplified Classic. The Amplified Classic says this: "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us." Notice, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Just want to highlight this verse in the Amplified Classic where he says, "We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. We are God's masterpiece," is what the Greek word means there for workmanship. We are his workmanship, poema. We are the poem of God. We are the masterpiece, the Mona Lisa of God, recreated in Christ Jesus. So please note that spiritual formation is based on not who we were, but who we are now in Christ, recreated. That in Adam, you existed. You were created, but in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, brothers and sisters, you might go to church, but this maybe has never happened to you, which is unfortunate. The understanding of church, many will never understand because spiritual formation has yet to take place within them. So they can't learn nor understand spiritual things. Jesus highlighted this in the life of the disciples. He said, "It's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower, Jesus makes it clear that the multitude, or those on the outside, those that aren't his disciples, they don't get the kingdom mysteries that disciples get. Jesus told the disciples, "It's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." Disciples, those who have sacrificially given their life and laid it down in order to learn Jesus, that have taken the yoke of discipleship. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden. Take my yoke upon you." What yoke is that? It's the yoke of discipleship. It has to be taken deliberately. Why? So that we can learn Jesus. You come into discipleship strictly to learn Jesus and how to become like Christ. That's what it's about. That's the nature of the relationship. Anything else is not going to sustain you in the days and weeks and months to come. And the enemy can still deceive you if you're not rooted and grounded in this. Many are rooted in church, grounded in some of the disciplines that their church might have, commendable. But only Christ can keep and protect a life from being invaded by the enemy, and aids and assists in the Holy Spirit evacuating completely the old man out of that person's life. So it means to just be remolded. In this verse here, it says we've been recreated in Christ Jesus. And I just want to stop here long enough to ask, has that happened to you, my brother, my sister? Or has there just been a religious carryover? I gave my life to Christ, but you know, I'm still struggling with sin. I still have lust problems. I'm still playing around, you know, with fantasy and all this. No, the spiritual formation will never take shape in a heart that hasn't been completely evacuated of the old life. That is a necessity in order for spiritual formation to take place. Notice the definition has to do with this person being shaped and formed, becoming spiritually minded, and now walking in the spirit with God. It suggests that the old natural way of living has ended, and we fully embraced what God is doing now out of my spirit. This is how I'm communing with God. This is how God communed with Adam in the cool of the day that we read about in Genesis chapter 2, where his relationship with God on the spiritual level would be when God came in the garden, Adam and his wife would meet the Lord spirit to spirit in a connection, and they would have fellowship every day. His reign upon the earth, as God is reigning and ruling in heaven, is based on that relationship with God every single day. And my brother, my sister, I want to say, we must learn how to be daily with the Lord if this process of spiritual formation is going to take place. I want to stop here so that we can pray together. But what I want to share with you today is that spiritual formation is a remolding, a complete reshaping of my insides so that the seed of God's word that was planted, that convicted my heart, that arrested me and made me aware of my need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I came to him and gave him and laid my life down. The Holy Spirit now takes up residence within that person and begins this process of spiritual formation. If the will of that person is lowered and allows the Holy Spirit to complete this work, Christ will begin to take shape and be remolded and formed within this person. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. The King James says, "Or the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." What I want you to see in this passage, brothers and sisters, is that the vessel had to be made again because what he was shaping had been marred in his hand. There was a deficiency and what he was making. This is why each one of us as children of God have to be remade. We're born marred in the hand of the potter, marred by sin, marred by what happened to our forefathers in the garden. It required the redemptive plan of God coming into play. Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So God wasn't shocked when man fell in the garden. It just released the redemptive plan of God to unfold. 42 generations later, Christ, God manifested in the flesh. He that had been conceived of the Holy Spirit in a virgin womb of a woman, Mary, was now on the scene, coming into his own, being spiritually shaped and formed, taught by the Holy Spirit, groomed by natural parents while developing spiritually, learning the scriptures. When Jesus went into the temple, the scrolls were handed to him, and the Bible says he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He found it because he knew where it was. He had been familiar with the scriptures. He discovered who he was out of the books. He said, "The books, behold, it is written of me in the volume of the books, how I'm supposed to live my life, who I am." He read about what the scriptures revealed. and actually became that, to the point where that day in the temple, he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You're looking at fulfillment of the word of God. I want you to see, brothers and sisters, that if we don't properly take shape spiritually, we can't fulfill God's will in the earth. We have to be formed. We have to be remolded. We've been marred by sin. We have to take shape based on this new creation that God made available to us in Christ Jesus. It's the standard life by which we live, the new creation. So I'm going to stop here so that we can pray, brothers and sisters. Has that remolding taken place? We'll look at the methodology, but has that molding begun in your life? Has Christ begun to take shape within your character? Or was there just carryover from the natural life to the church life? Has there been carryover of this one particular sin that you just can't seem to get rid of? Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's animosity or bitterness in the heart. My brother, my sister, I want to admonish you. Bring it to the cross and let the cross of Christ crush that old Adamic nature and all of what he left as furniture within the haunted houses that we have. Allow Christ to live his life in and through you. Father, I want to pray for these listening today. This is mostly for Kingdom Life Leadership Ministries, Lord. I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest a living Christ within us. That the seed of the Word of God that convicted our hearts and we responded in faith and said yes to the Lord. Lord, you've now come to make your abode in that person. You said in John 14, that you and the Father would come and make your home, make your abode within those that are genuinely committed. I pray for that to happen in the lives of every listener, that you would not only take up residence within them, but that Christ would take shape and be remolded, that this person would be recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, that we would take these paths that you have created. We know the path of the just is as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Father, help us with the paths that you created for us to take because of what you've done in the spirit of each one of us. You quickened our dead spirit and made it alive so that we could begin to relate to he that is spiritual and not natural. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, we sincerely yield our lives to you. We lay our old life down to receive the new life in Christ that you promised us. And the promise that you gave, Lord, was for the Holy Spirit to come. On the day of Pentecost, when the 3,000 gave their life to Christ, Peter was sharing with them. They said, men and brethren, what must we do? He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then he said, for the promise is unto you and to your children. Have you received what God has promised you? The Holy Spirit. Your children need to receive what God has promised us, the Holy Spirit. Those that are afar off, everyone that the Lord shall call, must receive the promise of the Spirit. That's why he was poured out on us abundantly, according to Titus chapter 3 and verse 6. The Holy Spirit has been poured out abundantly upon us. I want to admonish you. Have you received what God is offering? Because spiritual formation can't take place until the Holy Spirit is resident and working and active within the life. My brother, my sister, that's all that time we have for on this episode. But as we come back, we want to begin to deal with the methodology. How did Jesus bring his disciples into spiritual formation? We want to look at that methodology. Join us next time on This Present Truth. I'm Pastor Mark Copeland. We're signing off for now. Until then, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you on the next episode. God bless you.